Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Luke chapter 15, verse 3. Anyone know what the Gospel of Luke chapter 15 is talking about? It's talking about the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son, the prodigal son. I don't know how far we'll get into this today, but let's start in verse 3. And Jesus spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Those four words ought to make you shout, until he find it. Some of us he found pretty quick. Some of us he searched, and he searched, and we were hiding. And we were ducking, and we're up in the clubs, and we're up in the motel. Oh, is that too much on a Sunday? All right. And when he found the sheep, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he came home, he called it together, his friends and neighbors, and said, Look, rejoice with me. I have found my sheep, which was lost. I want to preach for a few moments on the subject, the missing piece. The missing piece. Turn to your neighbor and just ask him, do you have anything that's missing? Tell them, I'm going to help you find that thing, and then you're going to help me find my missing piece. Praise God. You may be seated. How many of you ever lost something? Anybody? Anybody ever lose something? Isn't it amazing that when somebody else loses something, it's not a big deal? When a coworker comes into your office or cubicle and says, I can't find my keys, have you seen them? Number one, before I go any further, I love when you lose your keys and you ask someone to help you. They say, what do they look like? They look like keys, bro. They look exactly like keys have always looked. Slender, a little longer. But it's amazing that when they come into your office, I've lost my keys. You don't even look up from typing. You say something like, man, that's too bad. That's a shame. I hope you find them. Very rarely do you ever shove back from your desk and jump up and start looking. Why? Because it's not your problem. It's not your loss. I know that many times I have lost my keys. And when I lose my keys, everyone has to help me. I call Mandy, where are you at? You got to come help me find my keys. Trish, drop everything you're doing. I'm doing something really important. It cannot be more important than me finding my keys. And the reason I lost my keys was not Mandy, was not Trish, wasn't my kids, wasn't the guy down the street, wasn't something in my past. The reason I lost my keys is I did not value them for a moment, and I lost them. Because if I valued it, I would have taken care of it. And it's amazing to me that when Mandy loses her keys, I just kind of send my condolences. But when my keys are gone, all heaven and earth stops until I find my keys. And it was my fault that I lost my keys. Now, sometimes at my desk, I'm working, and I have a paperclip laying there, and I look down, and the paperclip's gone. I don't search for the paperclip. I reach into the box and get another one because I have 100 paperclips, and that paperclip is worth fractions of a penny. Doesn't matter. But when we start talking about the weightier things of life, we cannot be as nonchalant with the things of God that are missing from our lives as we are about paper clips. And there's some things in our lives that are missing, that have been missing for so long, instead of searching for them until we find it, like Jesus did us, we search for them until we are frustrated, until we are tired, or get this, until we learn to live without it. Can I encourage somebody today? Don't learn to live without what God has promised you. Search until you find it. If you've got to flip over every couch cushion, if you've got to shove the couch out the way, if you've got to clean your entire car out, make sure that you search until you find it. If God gave it to you, you should value it enough not to lose it. But if we lose it, we should stop everything we're doing, and the same friends and neighbors you call to rejoice that you found it should be the same people you can call on to help you find what you've lost. I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but any friend that would rejoice in you finding what you lost is friend enough to help you search for it until you find it. It's not the friends on the mountaintop that are really friends. It's friends that when you're walking and navigating the tough places of life, the times that you've lost things, the time that things have been taken from you, the times that things have been misplaced, and they show up and they say, what can I do? And I don't know what we're exactly looking for, but I'll be your strength while you look. I'll hold the flashlight while you look. I don't know exactly what it is that you're looking for. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what it feels like, but I do know that if it's as important to you for you to get down on your hands and knees and search, if it's that important to you, then it's important to me because I'm connected to you, and I'll do whatever I can to support you while you look. And then when you find it and I see your level of rejoicing, that's why the Bible says rejoice with them that rejoice. Sometimes I see you rejoicing. I don't know why you're rejoicing like you rejoice, but when you start rejoicing, I start rejoicing. You start dancing. I don't know why we're dancing, but she's dancing. I love her. I'm connected to him. And so when they rejoice, I rejoice. So when we lose something, check this out. When we lose something, our reaction to what we lose tells us how valuable that thing is to us. Have you ever lost something and went totally crazy? You know, these things are a blessing and a curse. And every once in a while, I'll leave this laying on my desk and I'll head home. And the moment that I realize that it's not with me, I'm going to be honest, my heart drops a little. Where's it at? Oh, it's laying on my desk. And instead of just saying, you know what, I'm going to leave that phone at the office. I'm going to go home and enjoy a night phone free. I will turn around. I will drive 30 minutes one way to pick this back up because I value it. Not just because iPhones are the price of gold right now, but because I work on it. It's something that I use to communicate. How you react when things are lost tells us and defines the value you ascribe to them. That's why I'm so concerned when people lose their joy and they act like it's no big deal. When people lose their praise and it's not that big of a deal. You say, how do people lose their praise? When they praise hard one Sunday and then we can't get them out the pew the next Sunday. When after women's conference, everybody's in the altar, and then three Sundays later, we can't hardly get you to show up to two consecutive Sunday services. Is that too much? I know it's not Saturday night. It's not youth and young adults. Is that too much? And so when we lose something, how we react to what we lose says something to those that are watching us, but also says something to the God that we serve, that when we lose it, if we don't go crazy in the fact that I cannot put my hands, my eyes, I don't know where it's at, if we are nonchalant with the things that God died to give us, it says something about us, not the culture that we live in. But culture has taught us to value things that are simply not that important. At the end of the day, if I was to never have a phone again, it would take me a month or a year or 3 years to get used to. Who knows? But I'll tell you one thing. For the last 3 months, I haven't had a TV. I haven't had cable. It was hard for about the first 7 hours. And now I'm finding myself in a little better mood. I find myself spending more time doing things that matter with my wife, with my kids, with my God. And so what I lost, I didn't say I'm going to move heaven and earth to make sure I've got cable on my phone so I don't miss this and I don't miss that. I said, God, it's amazing that when I lost that thing, I was able to ascribe the proper value to it. And so instead of looking for something that I did not need, I find myself with time now searching and looking for the most important things in my life. Turn to your neighbor and tell them the missing piece. The missing piece. We've all got those missing pieces. We've lost something. The feeling of loss. The feeling of valuable and significant things. It's a terrible and seeking feeling. How we react to that loss tells everything that we need to know. The number one thing that you need to do when you lose something is take inventory. Take inventory of what you have left so you know exactly what you're looking for. Some of us, we will not know we've lost something until we've taken inventory of what we have. Inventory is not a fun thing. I remember when I first started working at Living Way, I mowed grass. Then I got moved to editing, radio broadcasts. And every once in a while, Bishop, Pastor Becky, they would want a certain service. They would want a certain sermon. And this was before we have all that we have now at the fingertips, all the information. And so I would have to go up underneath the balcony next door. It's hot. It's dark. I'm not even tall, but I had to hunch over to get under there and go through boxes because I was taking inventory. And I never liked to take inventory, but sometimes you have to take inventory to see what you have left, and you take inventory to see what you're missing. I cannot find something I don't know I'm missing. So in the next 10 minutes of this service, take inventory of your life. Where's your joy? Where's your power? Where's your anointing? You still anointed? You say, well, once I was anointed, talk to Saul about his anointing. Talk to Samson. Samson, the Bible says, shook himself and did not even realize that the spirit and power of God had resided and left him. He did not even know he had lost it because he quit taking inventory and he was too busy counting women than he was the things of God. And because he got his eyes off of what God had blessed him with and got his eyes on other sources and other things, he did not realize what he had lost. And then when he needed what he had lost, he found out what he was missing when he needed it. Sometimes I don't realize what Brandon has lost till I go to use it and find out that I don't got it anymore. One of those things happened this past Friday night when after about a year's time, I went out to play basketball. And I use play, the word play, very loosely in this story. It was one of the worst exhibitions of basketball that I have ever been a part of in 36 years. I did not realize I didn't have what I used to have until I stepped out on the court and tried to do things that I used to do. On the way home that night, I told Tyler, I said, that was absolutely terrible. And I said, I don't know if I'm ever going to play basketball again because I said, I cannot do what I could do at 16. And even if I was 160 pounds still, I still don't think I could do what I did at 16. I did not realize it wasn't there until I tried to use it. Can I encourage believers in the house today? You don't want to find out that you're not walking in the anointing in the middle of the battle. You don't want to find out that you don't have the strength of the Lord and the joy of the Lord in the middle of a dark night. You want to be able to walk out on the battlefield and say, I've taken inventory of my life. I know what I have and I know what I don't have. What I have, I'll use, and what I don't have, God knew I didn't have it, and in my weakness, God is made strong. That's why Paul would say, I'm not scared of what I don't have, because what I don't have is where God shows up best in my life. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, take inventory. Once you have found what you're missing, then you need to count the cost that it's going to take you to get it back. Some of us don't pay the price because we don't count the cost. It's like going to the nicest restaurant in San Antonio expecting McDonald's prices. And you sit down, we've all been there. You go to those steakhouse and everything's a la carte. You can't even get a lemon wedge for your tea without being upcharged. No potatoes come with it. No asparagus comes with it. No salt comes with it. No pepper comes with it. The napkins, $1.50 rental charge. The chairs, $2.75 rental charge. And you're sitting there with your significant other and you're thinking, my God, this is our first date and I'm going to have to take out a second mortgage on my house. Because we didn't count the cost. We eat the meal and now we're not willing to pay the price. Some of us don't have what God has called us to have because we don't know it's missing. Some of us don't have what God has called us to have because of what it costs. There's a story of a young lady that was going dress shopping for her prom, and she had seen a beautiful dress online that she had wanted for so long, and she found it in the store. And she called her mom and she said, Mom, I found the dress. I can't believe it. After all of this looking, I finally found the perfect prom dress and I'm going to look so beautiful on that Saturday night. And she comes home with a lesser dress. And when she opens up the bag and her mom says, that's not the dress you wanted. She said, I know it's not. She said, I got so excited when I saw what I was missing and what I was looking for. But when I flipped over the price tag, she said, it did not change the fact that I wanted it. It did not change the fact that I desired it. But she said, when I saw the price, I wasn't willing to pay the price for what I desired. So I settled for something less. Can I encourage somebody today? And I know I take this rabbit trail many times. Single men and women, don't settle for less. Don't settle for less. Don't settle for Mr. Right Now. Don't settle for Mr. Wrong Now. Wait on the Lord. Make sure that they're willing to pay the price. Make sure that you're willing to pay the price. If it means being single till you're 30, don't let your aunt, whoever, make you feel bad at Thanksgiving because you're not married and you don't have kids. She ain't gonna have to raise those kids and she ain't gonna have to sleep in the bed with him. So don't let them make you feel bad. You might be missing that piece, but there's a way, there is a form, there is a fashion in what we have to do to get what God has called us to have. Amen. Count the cost. I promise you, any gift that God has for you, any gift that he has for me is worth whatever it takes, is worth whatever it costs. You say, aren't the gifts of God free? Oh, they're free. I love what Pastor Mandy said last night. She said, salvation is a faith thing, but discipleship takes work. When you receive salvation, oh, it's a free gift. But everything after that, it's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you obedience. It's going to cost you sacrifice. It's going to it's going to cost you worship. It's going to cost you praise. It's going to take a prayer life. It's going to take some fasting. It's going to take some turning the other cheek. It's going to take laying down offense. It's going to take all of those things. But I'm counting the cost, and it is worth the price if I can get that which I am missing. Back to the text. A man loses one sheep out of 100. Culture would tell us you've got 99. You're good. One out of 99 is not that big of a deal. If you had $1,000 and you lost $10, not that big of a deal. That's what culture would, but if we become callous with the one, we'll become callous with two. And then we'll become callous with three or four. And sometimes the devil doesn't steal from you in lots of 50. Sometimes he takes here a little and there a little. It's not the elephants that spoil the fruit on the vine. It's the small foxes. It's the things you don't see. Isn't it amazing that you can live in a $300,000 house and one little housefly can mess up your afternoon? Isn't it amazing that you can buy a $120,000 Mercedes and one mosquito will cause you to run off the road, or a bee, or a wasp, or a fly, or a spider? Tyler came in the other day and said, Mom, Jaden, he said, you guys got a black widow in your bathroom. And then he just walked out of the room. Like, he didn't do anything. Jaden goes into hysterics, gets up on the bed. Like, spiders can't fly. I'm not fly, but climb and webs. And there's a lot of us that allow one little thing to spoil everything. One thing out of 99 is not a lot. However, we cannot preach it and not live it both ways. We can't say a seed brings a harvest, and then when we talk about one out of 99, say it doesn't matter. You can't disregard the one sheep out of 100 and then say, well, one seed out of a barrel can produce a harvest. You have to believe it all or you can't believe any of it. And if one seed is going to lead to my harvest, then one out of 100 sheep, if it's important to God, it's important to me. And there's a lot of things about the 100 sheep. I love the fact that I've got a Jesus that will go into the wilderness to find me. I love that I've got a Jesus that will leave the 99 that are righteous to come find pitiful, poor Brandon in my mess and in my misery. I love the fact that the Bible says that he will look for me until he finds me. Are you saying God doesn't know where you are? It's not that God doesn't know where I am. Sometimes I'm running from him and it takes him a little while longer to track me down and get me to turn around than it takes somebody else. I'm here to tell you, if you're sitting with drug tracks on your arms today, Jesus is looking for you. If you had the worst week of 2018, Jesus is looking for you. Stop looking at everybody else who seems like they got their act together, because God said, I'll leave them for a moment. I will do everything it takes to come and find you. And when I find you, I'm not going to leave you like I find you. I'm going to drag you to where I've called you to be. Here's great truth. It's going to bless you. If you're not the one today, praise God. How many of you are not the one today? You're found. I'm thankful that I'm part of the 99 today. But here's what it tells me when Jesus leaves me to go find the prodigal. It blesses me. It doesn't offend me. Well, Jesus, I stayed in the fold. Well, Jesus, I didn't do anything wrong. Why are you leaving me to go and find them? That doesn't offend me. It empowers me because it lets me know, Brandon, if you ever leave the fold, Jesus will come and find you. The message is not just to the one that, hey, I left the 99 to come find you. Jesus reminds the 99, every day of your life won't be spent in the fold. Sometimes you're going to waver. Sometimes you're going to try to leave, but I ain't going to let you leave. Just like you watched me leave to find the one, I will leave to find you. You are the missing piece to my masterpiece, and I can't leave you. I have to have you. Stand on your feet. Couple things here. Verses 3, 4, 5, and 6 tell us that looking is what loss produces. That when you lose something, you got to start looking for something. You take inventory, you count the cost, and then you start looking. Not a casual look. Not like my kids look for their tennis shoes. Dad, I can't find my shoe. Have you really looked? I've looked all over the house. It's sitting right next to your foot. It's right there. Literally right there. Some of us treat God that way. God, I've looked for peace. I can't find it. God, I'm so depressed. I've looked for joy. I just can't find it anywhere. Jesus said, you know, you're talking to joy. God, I need strength. I can't find strength. You're talking to strength. God, I need healing. I don't know if this doctor, I don't know if this medical team knows what they're doing. They work for me. You're talking to the great physician. Lord, my attorney, I don't know if he has the intellect to get me through this. Well, that's good. You're talking to an advocate. You're talking to the great counselor. You're talking to the judge, the jury, the I am everything you need. So looking for that peace leads to one thing. The Bible says he finds the sheep, finds the missing piece, puts it on his shoulders, rejoicing. by himself. Jesus, sheep, praise. Jesus, sheep, praise. I don't mean this to offend anybody. If you don't praise at Living Way, there's no way you praise anywhere else. No way. No way. Because what you see here is a continuation and an expression of lifestyle outside of here. If you're mean mugging me right now, you're mean mugging your boss, which is why you haven't had a promotion in 6 years. If you're late to church, you're late to everything else in your life. If you're not faithful to this church, can you really be faithful anywhere else? Puts the sheep on his shoulders and he rejoices by himself. This blessed me, caused me to shout this week. Jesus praised when he found me. We never talk about Jesus rejoicing. We always talk about our praises directed to him, but even Jesus had to let out a shout and say, I found my boy. In closing, comes back to the house, has his sheep, has his 99, and then he calls his friends. He doesn't call the depressed. He doesn't call the prodigals. Doesn't call the backslidden. He calls the praisers. Come in, rejoice with me, for I found the missing piece. I found the missing piece. When was the last time you had somebody you could call on that was truly your praise partner, that when something good happened to you and something finally turned and God turned it, that you could call and say, you need to meet me at the church this Sunday. You need to meet me at my house this Thursday afternoon, because I've got to tell you what Jesus has done in my life. The missing piece has been found. I'm done. My altar call is simply this today. If you're in this house and you're missing anything, I need you to join me right now. If you can't sleep and you're missing peace, join. If you've got some foreign substance in your body that is not supposed to be there, called cancer, some sort of deficiency, some sort of disease, come and find us. Come and join us in this altar right now, because you're about to find the missing piece. And as Jesus has been looking for you, now when you come to an altar, I'm telling you this. Let me say this one more time. Jesus has been looking for you. Jesus has been running you down. Jesus has been chasing you. But when you come to an altar, what you're saying is, God, I'm done running. And you pivot and you turn to God and say, God, now it's me and you. I found my missing piece. God bless these people in this altar. I'm seeing new faces in this altar. I'm seeing leaders in this altar. I'm telling you, you don't have to live beyond this day missing what you've been missing. Whatever it is, Jesus is here today. He left the 99. He left the cloud of witnesses in heaven to come and find you, to give you what you lack. Remember in your prayers today, you're not asking for an answer. You're talking to an answer. You're not asking God to give you something. You are talking to the God that is exactly what you need. Exactly what you need. Oh, come on, those that are Holy Ghost filled in this place, just go ahead and speak out in that language today. There's a power in this moment right now. There's a power in this moment. People are finding that missing ingredient. People are finding that missing thing that they've been searching for, some of them for days, weeks, but there's a couple in this altar you've been searching for years, and God is saying today,